Welcome to the RacerX Canada podcast show. I'm Steve Mathis, and this is brought to you by Shift Canada. Shift, the choice is yours. Check them out at the web at shiftracing.ca and find your local dealer near you. So I'm at Mount Morris. Jason the Weege Wygan and I are going through the National Motocross Program, and while we waited out this monsoon, we thought about the fact that Mike Krudowski was a four-time national title winner. He's a great rider, and no one ever talks about him anymore. I mean, the dude won four national titles against Stanton, Ward, RJ, and others. All guys that you would think were legends. But yet, the guy from Northern LA never seems to come up when people are bench racing about the greats. I immediately decided that he would be my next podcast, right there and then. I obtained his number and just cold called him. Now, he didn't call me back right away, so I figured maybe he just, A, didn't care about interviews, didn't know who I was, which is probably more the case was, but eventually he called me back and agreed to do this. I never really met him before, except one time at Yamaha, Ferry and I stopped for breakfast at the Burger King by Glen Helen exit right there, and the track was too wet, so we went in and ate some breakfast, and MX Keed was there, chowing down on a McMuffin, or whatever Burger King calls their breakfast sandwich. At the time, Red Dog was looking to buy a van, and Mike had this sick setup van, and somehow they got to talking, and Mike showed us the inside of it, and Red Dog was all impressed. Now, me being the mechanic to the rider, I was never actually introduced or acknowledged as being alive in any way, but I still came away with the feeling that Mike Krudowski was a really normal dude, who just happened to be damn fast on a motorcycle. Anyways, four national titles, 32 career victories, he won on a 125, 250, 500, he won indoors and out, the guy could do it all, and as you'll listen here, he's a pretty cool guy, and I'm glad I did this show. So please remember, this show and all my shows are available on iTunes for your downloading pleasure. And thanks to Shift Canada, thanks to Mike Krudowski, and thanks to you for listening. All right, Mike Krudowski, thanks for doing the RacerX Canada podcast show with myself. I appreciate you calling me back. What are you up to now?
Right now I'm kind of, after I get done doing all the off-road stuff towards the end of last year, I had to make a decision, what did I want to do, you know, and stuff. So I have a few friends that are firemen. My wife's brother is actually a paramedic fireman for LA City, and a friend of mine, Craig White, he works for LA City as a captain, and he actually went to Brazil with me with the 6 days and spent the whole time over there. And I've always kind of, you know, leaned towards that direction, and me and my wife were talking, and she said, well, so that's what I've done. And I went back to school and spent 4 months so far, and I took a fire tech class and got my EMT, so I'm just doing that and trying to get in and take as many tests as I can and hopefully make it there someday.
Yeah, that's going to be weird one day if you ever go to, like, work on a motocross fan, and he's lying there, and he's like, oh, my God, it's Mike Krudowski.
Yeah, exactly. I said maybe once I'm on the fire department or something, we'll go to Anaheim and be flaggers.
Yeah.
And we can be EMTs, you know, and flaggers.
yeah, exactly. So that'd be pretty funny.
Get a couple of paramedic guys and everything. Help the Asterisk medical crew.
Yeah. So. People would be like, oh, I got a dream that Mike Krudowski resuscitated me.
Yeah.
So talk about your off-road career. After you hung up the boots in motocross, you went to the GNCCs for a little while, and then you went to Works Racing. What about it? Why did you get into it, and did you enjoy it?
Well, the way I got into it, it was actually after I stopped doing Supercross. I started doing electrical work and worked for a small company, and was working for them for like 3 years, and came home from work, and my wife said, hey, Suzuki called. I said, really? Okay. So I called him back and talked to Mike Webb. And he was like, hey, you know, we got the new DRZ 400 coming out. We want to start racing it in the GNCCs. Would you be interested in racing it? And I said, yeah, I'll do it, you know. Mm-hmm. So it was a one-year deal, and took off and went and did that. And, you know, had a good year. We learned a lot of stuff with the four strokes and everything and kind of developed it. And so they're like, well, you want to keep racing? I said, yeah, I love this off-road, you know. And at the time, Rodney Smith and Steve Hatch were my teammates, and they taught me everything. I got to credit everything to them, you know, teaching me how to get over logs and, you know, ride in the mud a little better than I did before. Mm-hmm. And don't hit as many trees and stuff and everything. So, you know, the years went on and was doing the GNCs, and then the Work Series started out west here. And I went and raced, we were kind of racing both series. At the time, Works was like 6 races, and GNCs was like 12. Mm-hmm. And racing those, I won two championships in a row, and we were riding the DRZs out west. They wanted to keep racing them and stuff. So I won the two championships, and then just continued out here out west on this series. And then Suzuki came out with their 450 motocross bike and started racing that out here, and did really well on it and stuff. And then at the end of, it was probably 2 years ago, I did my ACL. Mm-hmm. And so I had to get that repaired and everything, came back, and last year was going strong. I think I was third or fourth in points, and then I broke my scaphoid bone, my navicular, at one of the races, and so that kind of took me out for the rest of the year. I was in a cast for 12 weeks and stuff, so that was kind of the end of it. I was like, okay, I'm getting hurt now and everything, and in the same time, I got inducted into the Hall of Fame, so that was kind of cool with the AMA. And so it was a good time to say, okay, that's enough.
Nice little capper on it, huh?
Yeah, yeah.
Is your wrist still bothering you, or
no? My wrist is fine. It was perfect. No problems with it. I got a Smith and Nephew bone healer, and put that on there every day, like three times a day, and that thing really, I think that's what really healed it good.
Yep. Now, I forgot about that. You were like a pioneer with that 400 because, you guys weren't on the two-strokes.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that was probably an experience for the first little bit.
Yeah, because I'd always been on two-strokes forever. Right. And when this came out, it was kind of more of like an enduro-style bike.
Uh-huh, yeah.
It really, I don't think it was made for motocross. And so we had, a lot of different suspension settings and different suspension we were trying and everything, and at the time Yoshimura came on, and they were doing all the motors, and they actually had a full-time guy working on the motors for us all the time at Yoshimura, Kenny, and the bikes were great. I mean, I love that bike. It's kind of reminded me of the days like the Kawasaki 500. It was just a good all-around bike. They didn't mess with it much, and it was great.
That's funny that you say you love that bike. I would have thought you would have said, oh, man, that thing was a handful. I couldn't.
Yeah, but, I mean, at first, yeah, but then as we started getting more parts built for it and mm-hmm. lightening it up and putting different wheels, and everything, I mean, it seemed fine. I think the frame was a little weak, for what we were jumping on it and stuff.
Yeah,
but other than that, I mean, it was a good bike. The motors ran awesome.
You came really close to winning a GNCC, but you actually never managed to win one, huh?
No, I never did. I got several seconds mm-hmm. and thirds and everything, but I never won one.
Yeah.
So
I raced a few of them and gained a whole new respect for those guys, and I'm sure you did too.
Oh yeah.
That is a different kind of racing, and it's pretty gnarly.
Yeah, it beat you up pretty good.
Yeah.
Really good.
Can you compare it to your motocross days at all? Like, I mean, was it surprising to you how tired you got, or?
Yeah, I mean, the first couple races, I think my speed kind of carried into it,
mm-hmm.
so it wasn't that bad. But then once you start getting used to racing and stuff, it was like, okay, I got to pace myself, I got to do this, I got to do that. After gas, this is when I got to take off, and you have to put yourself in situations. And sometimes it worked out, sometimes it didn't. And but then you kind of start, I don't know how you explain it, you start getting used to riding in the woods and mm-hmm. not being so aggressive and more pacing yourself, and then you end up getting tired towards the end, So, and then you change your training around and stuff, and you get used to it and stuff. But it definitely, I think I had more blisters on my hands and my feet than I ever had in motocross for the whole time I was racing motocross. So it was definitely beat you up a lot more.
Okay, now we'll get to the good stuff, the moto stuff. Now, I grew up in Canada, so I was kind of just, motocross action was it for me. And I know that you rode Cowies, and you were number 762 in the Golden States, and then you got hired by Factory Honda, and I got to admit, I was pretty much amazed because I hadn't heard much about you.
Yeah.
Why do you think Honda went after you, and were you surprised when they, what made them want to hire you, and how did that all go down?
Let me think. I got to think back. It was a while ago. But I think at the time I was, at that time too, Golden State races
mm-hmm.
were going, so we were doing those before the Supercross even started. So at that time I was the top guys, Rick Johnson and I think Wardy and all them were racing the Golden States, and there was I think the year before, even no, it was probably the year before, I was kind of hanging with Ricky and Wardy and all that
really,
50
huh?
class and stuff. So I think maybe that kind of caught their eye a little bit. And I had done, you know, Ponca City, Loretta Lynn's, all that, and battled with Stanton and Bradshaw and everything. Maybe not Bradshaw, I think it was more Stanton. But so it was a time, at that time in 88 and 89 was rolling around, Honda was going to have like a support team. So they needed a couple extra riders. They had Rick Johnson.
Mm-hmm.
They got Jeff Stanton. And
yeah,
I think
Cooper.
They were kind of supporting Cooper a little
yep.
bit, you know. And so now they're going to come out. We're going to ride the 125 West two guys, 125 East two guys. And so that's when they signed me up to do the West Coast Supercross. And so we started riding and testing the bikes and everything. And then I ended up, I think I broke my thumb or something right before the West Coast started. So then I transferred over to the East Coast Supercross. And so then me and Bradshaw kind of battled throughout that series. And I think it came down to 5 points or something like that at the end. And so I think there was me, Larry Ward, trying to think who else was out here. Was
Emig? Was Emig that year?
No, Emig, I'm thinking who was with me at Honda.
Oh, oh.
I know Larry Ward was there.
Yeah, it was a pretty big team. Cooper.
Yeah.
You, Ward, Stanton, Johnson. Holland?
Yeah, maybe it was George Holland.
Yep.
George Holland was on the team. And there was a couple other ones, you know. I do remember when we went to go do our photo shoot at Indian Dunes.
Mm-hmm.
I showed up in the morning and had my bike in the back of my truck, and I didn't have numbers on or nothing because Honda was going to bring me my numbers. And, gosh dang it, Brian Lunnis had my numbers in the back of his box van. And so I go, hey, who has my numbers? He goes, oh, I got a bag of numbers here.
Mm-hmm.
And I go, okay. And he goes, what's your number? I said, 762. He goes, oh, I didn't think Honda hired area codes. You know, and I was like, oh, what a jerk.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
And, you know, I was like all bummed out. And, you know, I was like, God, I can't believe you said that. You know, a number doesn't mean much. And so, yeah, and then what, I think it was 5 or 6 years later, I hired him as my mechanic.
Yeah. So, yeah, you were like, hey.
It all comes around, so don't say too much.
Now, that 89 year, there was that famous photo where I think Damon had a, was it you? Who had the number crossed out like a Ghostbusters sign on their bar pad?
I think it was it Bradshaw?
Yeah, Bradshaw had 762 yeah. with a Ghostbusters sign.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
Did you guys not get along?
You know, I think we got along, but we were racers, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, if I seen him on the street, you know, I mean, sure, I'd, you know, help him or something,
yeah.
But it wasn't, I think racing was racing, and I knew that, and he knew that, you know, whatever happened, happened. There was a race, I think it was, maybe it was Binghamton, and we were racing, and he just cleaned me out on the pit straight away, coming down
uh-huh.
towards the first turn, just cut over and just cleaned me out, and I went flipping, you know, and everything,
yeah.
But the next moto came around and I beat him, you know. It was like, well, you know, it comes around. So, but we always had really good battles all the time and stuff.
That whole 89 season, you guys went at it, and you actually ended up winning the outdoor title, which is probably the more important one.
That's what I think.
Yeah.
I like that because it was, you know, West Coast or East Coast Supercross.
Yeah.
Know? And he was always a better Supercross rider. You
now,
know, he had the style.
Yeah, I did one of these with him not too long ago, and yeah, he gave you a lot of props in it for sure.
Oh, did he?
Yeah, he said that, you know, he tried to knock you down a bunch,
yeah.
and you
yeah.
never, ever, like, went to his level. You just kept it pretty clean.
Yeah.
Unlike him.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, were you pretty amazed that you won in 89? I mean, be honest. Or was Honda amazed?
Oh.
I mean.
Oh, I was totally amazed
yeah.
because the year before that, I was with Team Green Kawasaki,
uh-huh.
and I went to Gainesville, Florida, and Hangtown and stuff. And
yeah.
And I think I did Texas and stuff. And, I mean, I was getting 18th and 20th.
Okay,
in
yeah, yeah.
Moto, I got lapped by Holland and Kehoe the year before in 88 at Gainesville. And then we went to Gainesville for the first national, and I won it.
Jeez.
You know, I think I got a second and a first or something like that. And got the overall, and I was like, holy cow, you know, what a difference a year makes.
Was it, so, can you pinpoint why you were so much better? I mean, the bike?
I think I was on a good bike,
mm-hmm.
a fast bike. Mitch Payton was kind of doing our motors then, and you know, it was, I had good suspension and stuff, and I think Rick Johnson helped me out a lot that year. It was, you know, he kind of like, hey, come down to my house for a week. You know, mm-hmm. I went down there, and he goes, you're going to train with me and see what I do, you know, and stuff, and that's what you're going to have to do. And I was like, whoa, okay. And so he helped me out a lot. And I think, you know, you're riding, testing with fast people, you get faster.
Yeah, that's funny because he did the same thing with Stanton, too, you know, so that's
yeah.
actually pretty cool.
Yeah, I mean, Stanton lived at his house, you know, for Supercross, and then Stanton ended up beating him.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So I don't think they were friends that good of friends after that.
Yeah, I don't think so. So, so 1990 comes, you're the defending champion.
Yep.
Honda hires Jean-Michel Bale.
Yep.
Puts him on the 125.
Yep.
And you guys apparently didn't get along. Is that pretty true?
Yeah, I mean, you know, he was different than I was. And, I think
he was different from a lot of people.
Yeah, and Roger DeCoster was on the team. He wanted to see a French guy win. And, you know, he brought Bale over, and Bale was winning everything in Europe and stuff. So, you know, it was one of those deals. And so we were kind of, I don't know if maybe he was leading, Cooper was second, I was third in points and everything. And then we went up to Washougal, and he flipped off in the whoops there and broke his elbow or something.
Yeah, I think he broke his arm, but yeah.
Yeah, broke his arm, and then he was out, and then it was like, okay, Mike, now you need to do something. It's like, oh, well, really, okay.
You You're know, like, I got number one on my bike for a reason.
Yeah, I've been trying for a long time.
Yeah.
And so then we go to the next race, and I got new parts on my bike, they tell me.
Well, this is what I was going to talk to you about. I have this written down. Jason Wygant says that Honda had limited works parts, and they gave them to Bale instead of you.
Yeah.
Is that true?
Yeah.
Holy
completely.
Smokes.
So I take my – and Shane – no, it was actually Ron Wood was working on my bike then.
Mm-hmm.
And so I get the race. I take off and practice. I'm like, holy crap. This is a whole new bike. And that thing ripped. It was one of the fastest bikes I've ever been on.
Dude, I don't understand what was the deal. They just did. I mean, you were the number one guy.
Yeah, but I think it was just they wanted Bale to win. You know, he comes over, we paid him money, you know.
Yeah.
He's the new superstar, he's going to win everything.
That's a crazy story. I totally told Wygant that he was probably full of crap.
No, and so then it went down to the last moto, and I'm leading. Cooper's back in seventh. Cooper took me out the first moto around the tree at Unadilla, cleaned me out.
In
we
the tree
both
turn,
got
yeah.
up. I finished, I think, in front of him one spot. And so the second moto I'm leading, there's two laps to go, and I've got the championship. Everything's good. And then I think maybe it was Larry Ward was on Suzuki then, and some other guys, and Matasevich was on Cowie, everything. And those guys just kind of seemed to slow down the last lap. And I come around and get the pit board the last lap, and it's like, no championship. I'm like, what the heck? You know, it just went from championship to none on the last lap. And so he got up to, like, third or fourth and got the points and won.
It was one
and
point,
I,
yeah,
I
one point.
I think he beat me by one point,
I know, I double-checked before I called you.
Yeah.
Did you ever confront Roger or anybody at Honda and say, hey?
I mean, you know, it's just that's
the way
racing.
It is. Huh?
I mean, what am I going to do? You know, it's already done. The fact's done.
That blows me away. I can't believe that. What did you and Bale ever have it out at all, or was it?
No, I think it was just. I mean, I don't think Stanton really liked him. I didn't like him.
Yeah,
you
Stanton
know? I mean,
definitely didn't like him.
Yeah, it was just one of those things. You know,
It
wasn't like I'd go to dinner with him or something if we were all in a group. But it wasn't like I'd call him. And
go,
hey, you want to go to dinner? You know.
Wow, that's
something like that.
See, that's crazy. Like when I worked at Yamaha, you know, Reedy was the guy, but everybody got all the parts. You know what I mean? There was never ever anything hidden. You know?
Yeah, and I think kind of maybe somewhat after that, it changed to be that way. You know, I think it was just kind of more of an inside thing.
So the next year, you switched to Cowie.
I signed with Cowie.
And was it because of? I mean, the whole.
No, I think Honda was done with me.
Really?
I mean, I didn't win a championship, so okay. That's it.
Jeez, you know, they would have fired all their guys lately.
In
the last 5 years.
Exactly.
Oh, but, so you didn't go for more money? You didn't go for any of that deal?
No, I think Cowie was going to pay me a little bit more, but they wanted me to win the 125 championship.
Mm-hmm.
That was their biggest thing.
Yep.
So they knew that, you know, I would be the guy to do it. And they hadn't won one since Wardy won. And so I said, well, you got to give me good bikes, you know, and parts, yeah, and, you know, a lot of testing and stuff. So at the time, Jim Felt was doing all the motors. Rick Ass was doing suspension. There was another guy that did suspension there for a long time. He worked for Ty Davis for a long time. Brett Leaf.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Brett's still around, yeah.
Yeah, he was doing suspension and stuff, miscellaneous stuff, and everything. So Norm was parts, and Roy Turner was a team manager, and they built the bike. Japan was sending stuff, and Jim Felt was doing motor stuff, and mm-hmm. we went testing all the time, and it turned out to be a great bike. And I remember being at National, and I went through practice or something, or maybe the first moto, and won or something, and Mitch Payton rolls up next to me, and he's like, you know, you're on the slowest goddamn bike out there. That thing won't even get out of its way. And I said, yeah, but I like it, and it keeps up, so I'm fine.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, it's just rider preference, if that's what you like or not. And if you're comfortable with it and you think it's good, then it's fine. So, but yeah, so we won the championship that year, and yeah, and so it's, you know, that was a good year, so they were really happy with me.
Yeah, and you ended up sticking out there for the rest of your career.
Yeah, yep. So, yeah, so 90, what was that, 91, I won the 125, mm-hmm. then 92, I won the 500,
yep.
And then 93, I won the 250 outdoor championship.
Now, you have 3 Daytona wins.
Yeah.
What was it about that place that you just liked? I mean,
you know, I think a lot of that, probably winning Daytona, probably came from a little bit of my Honda days, mm-hmm. because I knew, like, how Stanton and Johnson, what tracks they went to and how they rode and practiced and how they set their bikes up and stuff. And so I think that helped me a lot. And when I got on Cowie's, it was, you know, where are we going to go ride? Where are we going to go test? And, oh, we got to go this place, you know, and you got to get in there early and schedule it, you know, hold the track and stuff. And so we'd go ride there, and once I got my bike set up really good, you know, I went there and won my first one, and that was a lot of people don't know this, but when I won my first one, we did the parade lap, mm-hmm. and we came back, and Jeff Stanton broke a bolt in his wicket.
Yeah.
And so he was lined up right next to me. And so they pull his bike back, and they're trying to hammer it out, and they can't get it out. And 2 minutes went by, and they go, okay, we're starting it. And so Stanton comes over to me, and he grabs me by the shoulder, and I turn around, and he goes, if I don't start this race, you better win it. And I'm like, oh, man, okay.
How crazy is that, like his main competitor?
Yeah, and we'd kind of been battling, you know, because Gainesville, I think it was in 93, I think. So, you know, we battled at Gainesville and everything, so we were kind of the top guys.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm like, okay, right on. So, you know, 30-second board goes sideways, and I'm all, brr, and he's not there. I'm, like, looking at him next to me, and I'm looking at the gate, you know. Like, oh, man. And so I don't see him there, so I take off, and I'm like, right on, brr, got a good start. I was, like, second or third. And all of a sudden, freaking Honda sticking its wheel in everywhere, like, through the first couple turns. I'm mm-hmm. like, good heck, and I look back, and it's him. And I'm like, son of a bitch. So I'm like, okay, I got to get going,
yeah,
man.
Yeah.
And so I took off, and then he ended up pulling off after, like, the first lap or half a lap. The suspension wasn't working. And, yeah, so I went on to win that, you know. And then it just kind of rolled on, you know. It was
like every year you went to the same track, same kind of bike setup, everything, I guess.
Yeah.
Huh?
Yeah, and we had our setup dialed in and everything, and just went there, and I knew I was going to win, you know, type of thing. So, luckily, fortunately for me, I didn't have any of the mud races like this year.
Yeah,
at Daytona, because that would have probably changed things a little bit.
Now, you've only got two other, I shouldn't say only, but you've got two other Supercross wins. You just were a better outdoor rider. Supercross just didn't come as easy to you?
Yeah, I don't think I had, like, the style or, mm-hmm. or the, I don't know, maybe the finesse or something. I kind of more like a Larocco type of thing. I wasn't
yep.
a great starter. And you need to get great starts in Supercross, you know, and everything. So I just wasn't like a jumper and all that.
Yeah.
So.
And speaking of Larocco, when you guys were teammates, we all know the infamous
Red Bud
battle. I don't forget who ghost wrote into who now.
I did it to him.
Okay, you ghost wrote into him.
Yeah.
And you guys at the time were like the only team with a semi. So how tense did it get around there at times?
You know, it was at times. But, you know, as a team, we all kind of stuck together.
Mm-hmm.
It probably looked worse from the outside, you know, than when we were there. And even during that incident, I mean, we were, you know, changing into our gear 10 feet away from each other.
Right.
You know, our gear bag separated us, and that was it, up on top. So,
mm-hmm.
But he was fine. I don't know. I think maybe his parents instigated it more.
Yep.
For him to, you know, take me out. You ride. You got to beat him. That's how you're going to keep your ride here, you know, and all that. And I didn't have my parents there or nothing. And, you know, I just raced. You know, that's what I was there to do. And so when he was away from his parents and all that, he was a lot better. You know, we'd talk about the track, going to dealer shows and driving and stuff. You know, but I think when his dad and mom were around, he had to have this front on him, you know, that he won't talk to me or look at me or anything.
What was the deal at that Red Bud race? What made you do that?
Yeah, that we were racing the first moto, and I led the whole time. And he was behind me. He couldn't get by me anywhere. Never even put a wheel in anywhere and nothing. And I said, you know what, if I stay in my line, keep this pace going, he can't get around me.
Huh.
And it was the last lap, about a half lap to go, and there was it went around the big sweeper in the middle of the track.
Mm-hmm.
He dropped down. There was a left-hand hairpin that went up to a right-hand hairpin and came back down. And so I did the berm, I go up, I take this big rut that I've been taking every lap, and he cut over the inside of the bank and just T-boned right into me and hit me so hard that the handlebars went out from underneath me, and the bike fell over, and I fell down on the side of it.
Oh,
and then he's just like, burr, 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 just clutching it right around my bike, my front end, everything to get going, and I was so mad. I'm like, I can't believe you did that. You had to hit me to pass me. You know, and I mean, that's
not even a block pass, but a T-bone.
Yeah, and that's basically how he always got around people, was he had to hit them out of the way. He couldn't be smarter and try to take a different line and make it work for the next couple turns to get by somebody. So, so I was just furious, and so I came over the finish line. I knew right after he hit me, I go, I'm going to hit him back. I don't care where he is. So he came over the finish line. He's all waving, and I go, well, here it comes. And I just started upshifting to about third, and then when he turned right in to go towards the pits, that's when I let go.
Nice.
And hit him, you know. And then it was, you know, I was so mad. And then Turner comes in, he's all, you just wrecked two good bikes, you know. It's like Days of Thunder type of thing. And he's like, get in the truck right now.
Yeah.
You know, and they chewed both of us out. And, you know, I don't want this shit happening. And, you know, the AMA comes over and Roy Jensen and Roy's all, I'll take care of him, you know. Turner was like, don't worry about it, I'll take care of him.
Yeah.
And so the AMA, what are they going to do?
Yeah.
You know, two teammates take each other out. You know? I'm going to fine both of you ten grand each. So, so then we went out the second moto, and, you know, granted, I'm still getting change from him 10 feet away in between motos. And we go out, and he was leading, and I was right behind him. And we went about four laps or so, and then he washed out in a little tight turn. I went around him and then won.
And that was it. But things were probably pretty tense in between motos.
yeah. I mean, it was normal, but, I mean, I explained myself, and he couldn't really explain himself.
Yeah, exactly.
You know? It's like, well, I was racing, and you couldn't get by me, and then you hit me. You know, well, yeah, that's what I did.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, see, that's why I did that to you.
Yeah, he's got no comeback.
Yeah, there was nothing there. It wasn't like, oh, man, I hit a bump and it shot off the track and you were just there, you know, or anything. So.
I'm guessing your favorite track might have been Red Bud, too, because you won there four times.
Yeah, that was probably one of my better tracks.
Yeah.
You know, that, Washougal was always good for me. Southwick was okay. Me and Stanton had a lot of good battles at Southwick and stuff. And, I liked all the tracks. I mean, they were all pretty good, except the only one that I never liked and don't like to this day is Glen Helen, my worst track ever.
Yeah, they've made some improvements from back in the day, but it's still not, I don't think it's anybody's favorite track now.
Yeah, even when I go there to practice or whatever, it's like, God, place sucks, you know.
Now, when you retired, you kind of just
basically went away. It wasn't like a big farewell tour or anything like that. And it could be definitely debated that you were still, you know, a very, very top five guy. What kind of led into that? What made you retire?
Yeah, in the end of 95, it was kind of like, well, you know, you're not really winning. You're, you know, a top five guy, but we need somebody to win. And Brian Lunnis was my mechanic. And it was kind of like, well, you know, you should retire. You've had a great career, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, oh, yeah, I have. Yeah, okay. You know, and
how
then it was like, I was probably 26, 27 maybe.
Jeez.
Somewhere around there, maybe 20, yeah, probably 27 or so. And then, yeah, so then that year, the next year in 96, I worked with Callie, kind of going to every other race and helping him out in the shop and with testing and stuff, and not really riding a bunch. And then Kehoe, I'd always practice with Kehoe, and he was working for Honda Troy. And so he was like, hey, you know what? You want to go race again? I said, yeah, I wouldn't mind. You know, and Honda came out with the new bike, that aluminum frame and everything. So I was like, ah, heck, I'll give it a shot, you know. And so so we started racing. I felt really good. And then I had like a couple injuries here and there. And then I ended up crashing and fracturing my hip. And so that kind of took me out for the rest of the year. And so after that, I was like, okay, I'm out of here. I'm done.
Yeah.
And so that's when I went on and started doing electrical for about 3 years after that.
That's crazy because, I mean, I'm sure you know now, like, the ages of the guys that retire now. You know, they're 32, 33 years old and still doing good.
Yeah.
You know, Mike or Ferry or Dowdy still going at it.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah,
it's crazy. Yeah. So when you retired, I mean, were you pretty set financially? I mean, was everything?
Yeah, I put money away, and you know, I had same accountant as like Stanton and Rick Johnson and all them. Dave Stevenson,
yeah,
took care of Bradshaw and everything. So you know, I was fine, but I'm always got to be doing something. You know, and whether it's in motorcycles or outside of motorcycles, whatever it. I'm fine with it. You know, it's not like the only thing I know is to ride a motorcycle. You know,
yeah.
I can't do anything else. So I'm kind of like, you know, I'm going to go into electrical. My dad was in construction all his life, so I was around him. I knew how to use tools and stuff. And so I wasn't working for my dad or anything like that. I just went out and started doing electrical, and the guy I was working for taught me everything. So when I got done, when Suzuki had called, I was just doing I just finished two houses doing rough electrical in them and had two guys working for me. And so when I left, I got them the final on rough, and then I left the job.
That's crazy because, I mean, yeah, like you said, financially you were fine. You're just like, I'm going to be an electrician now.
Yeah.
I just can't see that happening nowadays.
Yeah. And I had a lot of fun. I had a great time. I mean, I had a lot of days where, you know, we were hoofing it, and we had the radio going and stuff, and shooting the shit with the guys, you know. And that's kind of my thing that I like to do, be with the guys and having fun and working hard.
Kind of hang out, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, you're 12th in all-time wins, and like I said when we first spoke, a bunch of us are standing around, and we really think that, you know, you're kind of overlooked in motocross history. Do you feel that way? You maybe didn't get the credit you deserved? I mean,
you know,
yeah,
do you care? I don't have any regrets. Yeah, I don't really care, but I know a lot of people recognize me around, you know, whether it's in motorcycles or kind of out of it. A lot of people recognize me, and I don't know why, you know. I mean, I don't know what it would be like to be in McGrath shoes or Carmichael's, but, you know, when me and my wife and daughter go out or something like that, and dinner, somebody says something, maybe because I grew up around here, you know, and I see people or something like that, or a kid will come over. Well, now it's more the dad comes over with his son and says, oh, this is Mike Gudrowski, he was a famous motorcycle rider, and the kid's all, oh, okay.
Yeah.
You know, and you shake his hand, the kid's all excited, and the dad is too, and that's it. So
kid's like, hey, can you do any tricks?
Yeah, yeah.
Can you backflip?
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
And how much do you follow the sport now?
I follow it, you know, relatively every week. I get cycle news and some of the magazines, and of course RacerX. And you know, I keep in touch with, you know, Tom Webb, Mike Webb, and, you know, guys in the industry.
Yep.
I see Damon Huffman, and in fact, right now I'm actually I do like private lessons, and so I do that, you know, a couple here and there, maybe one or two a week,
mm-hmm.
and take younger kids out and work with them on turns or jumps and, you know, scrubbing and all that stuff, and kind of get them on the right style or what they need to be doing and what they're going to have to do eventually as
right.
far as riding the bike and how much riding the bike and then even training off the bike. So I try to work with them with that. So, yeah, so I see, you know, Damon Huffman at the track and Mike Webb and other
yep.
guys and stuff here and there.
And what do you, what's your feelings on the sport? Like, is there anything that gets you, let's say, angry about the sport now or upset? Or is there anything that you look back on and just be like, man, I can't believe these guys are doing this or anything like
yeah,
that?
Yeah, I think the speeds are incredible now, I think, with the 450s.
Uh-huh.
The only thing that probably bums me out is when you do go to Supercross, it's so noisy with the bikes that you can't hear the announcer. You know, it's just like, wow, this has changed, you know. And with the two strokes, it seemed like it was like louder but crispier, but you could hear the announcer. And now it's just a deep roar, you know, and it's hard to hear. But the guys are definitely hauling butt. I mean, you know, Carmichael and Stewart and all them, I mean, it's incredible.
Yeah, it's funny. I talked to Ron Lachine not too long ago. He did one of these also, and he was like, oh, man, Stewart's faster than we ever were. You know
yeah.
what I mean? Like,
yeah.
he's not one of those guys that, you know, thinks that the new guys maybe aren't doing it or whatever. He's like,
yeah.
he's just amazing, you know?
No, they're cooking. It might not look like it, but when we were going fast, people go, God, it doesn't look like he's going that fast.
Yeah.
And then you get out there and like, whoa. You know, so when you think they're going fast, and then if you were riding with them, you'd be blown away.
Yeah, exactly. What is there any rider that you looked at and always thought was maybe super, super talented back when you were racing and just never really put it together for whatever reason? Was there always a guy that you thought that should have done better?
I think Eric Kehoe. I think I wish he would have won a 125 championship
because
mm-hmm. he tried for, what, 7 years or something like that?
He came close a bunch, yeah.
Yeah, and him and George Holland battling all the time and everything. And, I mean, Eric had everything. Well, maybe not everything to do it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he was – if he would have got on like a Honda or something at later in his career,
mm-hmm.
when he was, you know, battling for that, I think he would have won a championship or two. I don't know if he was on the correct bike at that time. Suzuki, I don't know if they put a lot of effort into their program. They got a tie pipe, and that was about it.
and so, blue engines.
yeah. So, you know, I don't know. You know, I just wish that he would have won a championship because he's a great guy, and I'd practice with him every day.
Yeah,
we got practicing. He'd whip my butt.
Really?
Every day. Yeah.
Really.
Every day he would pull away from me, and then we'd get to the track, and I'd pull away from him. So that was kind of weird, but he tried really hard. I know that. So.
Cool. Well, hey, how can people get a hold of you for private lessons?
Actually, you can go on if you punch in mxkid.com.
Yep.
I have a little website, and then you can actually email off of that.
Okay.
And then I'll get the emails and stuff, and you can get in touch. And I leave my cards over here at the local Pit Pro shop in Newhall. And, yeah, that's probably the best way.
Okay.
You type in Mike Kudrowski or mxkid.com and get a hold of me. And most of my lessons are done at Pyru MX, Gorman, AV Fairgrounds, or LACR. And all skill levels, all age levels. I know there's, you know, I've worked with guys that are 40 years old and they just want to learn some, you know, little stuff for the motocross track, so...
Dude, I just want to bench race with you all day. I wouldn't even care about.
Yeah,
I wouldn't
yeah.
even care about you teaching me anything. I would just ask you questions.
Yeah, no, that's fine too. That's fine too.
So yeah, I just read the Atlanta 1990 race that Racer X did. Eric
yeah.
Johnson did. That was
yeah.
cool. That was a race for sure.
Yeah, that was a really cool race. Really cool.
Well, hey, thanks for doing this. I really appreciate it. I had a lot of fun. This is great.
Okay.
I always
yeah.
felt that you needed a little bit more recognition than what you got, even though
well,
you don't really care. But
yeah. No, that's fine.
You were a badass, and I'll have to tell Wygant that he was right about those Honda parts.
Yeah, you tell him. You tell him. Not a lot of people know that.
Yeah.
Now you're going to get me in trouble.
Yeah, exactly. There goes your Honda factory ride again.
Yeah.
All right, great. Well, thanks very much, Mike.
Okay, I'll talk to you later.
All right, bye-bye.
Okay, bye.
What a cool guy. Super, super nice guy. Mike Kudrowski, 4-time national champion. There you have it, the podcast brought to you by Shift Canada. I want to thank Mike for doing it. I want to thank you for listening. And if you've made it this far, here's your chance to win a pair of Scott goggles, courtesy of courtesy of Scott. So anyways, here's the Ron Lachine trivia question this week. And send all your answers to Mathis@RacerXCanada.com. M-A-T-T-H-E-S, Mathis@RacerXCanada.com. Thanks for listening, and see you next week.
Ron, the Dogger Lachine, what's going on today?
What's happening, Mathis? Just shipping that Maxima oil out the door.
Nice, nice. Oh, I wanted to tell you that T-shirt you gave me a while back, it's in my rotation, so thanks.
There you go.
I'm trying to give away some Scott goggles. What is the trivia question this week?
All right, the trivia question of the day is, in 1985, when I won the 125 national title, how many moto wins did I have?
On that sweet-ass Honda 125, too.
Yeah, works bike RC.
I wasn't that pumped on you then, though, because you beat my hero when I was a kid. At that point, my hero was Bomber. He was running a Cowie, and you waxed him. So
he wasn't easy to beat, old Bomber.
No, even back then, probably.
Yeah, that was a guy that was a tough guy to beat.
All right. Thanks, Ronnie.
No problem.